Okay, we are on page 459, 460. We're starting at Kiddick Sieve is where we got up to. I started reading from the beginning of the third line. Go back just a little bit. He's talking about the importance of being balanced. And mentioned that you have chesed, you have gvura. The way they come down is that one is primarily one thing, another thing is another. You really should be a teferis, which teferis is a perfect combination of both. And that's why you had Beis Shammai was Beis Shammai, and Beis Hillel was Beis Hillel. Okay? And therefore, he says over here, Lachain, Hem Yuchedis Zubazuk Yadil Yedachain, Kidiksi Ba'Avraham, as it's written, as we're taking it from, Kidiksi Ba'Avraham Shuhu Midas HaChesed Ba'Ava. That's why it says by Avraham that he was the embodiment of love. Ati Yadaiti Kiyir Elohim Ata, that the test stopped when Hashem, when he finally said, okay, I'm going to go slaughter my son, and God said, okay, now I know you fear Hashem as well.
Right.
Love, that was like a given, because that was natural. He didn't have to serve Hashem with love.
Right.
Serve, when we talk about the word serve, serve means to put effort. So for Avraham, the greatest level of love was no effort.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he got himself thrown into a furnace.
Yeah.
So, that was no big deal.
Nothing better to do on a Friday afternoon.
Yeah, he just, you know. I don't know, I didn't see anything about how Avram felt being in the furnace, but it says about Hanan and Mishael and Azariah.
Right.
That they didn't want to leave because it was like Gan Eden in there.
Wow.
I mean, Hashem made it for them, made it very comfortable.
Yeah, sure.
It was probably like a schwitz, you know? Hey, this is great.
Man, this is good stuff.
They also, they didn't want to leave because, unlike Avraham, they were not on the level of Avraham. They're like 17-year-old little kids.
Yeah, 17-year-old boys.
So, their clothes got burnt up.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so for them, for them to walk out and oops,
yeah.
Could you get me a towel, please? You know, so but Avraham, it doesn't really say what it was like for him. Okay, so but that he had to accept upon himself to do something such as this, which is the exact opposite of kindness.
Yeah.
So. Then the tests stopped. Right. And Hashem said, "Oh, now I know you're in the groove. You did it. You passed A plus.
Got you signed up here."
Al yedei shalavish midas hagevura v'yakedus Yitzchak v'yikachas amachelus, because his kindness now became enclosed in the attribute of gevura of severity, and he bound his son Yitzchak and he took the knife. Umasha amarakas of Avram oyhavayu pachid Yitzchak. So, but wait. It doesn't say, the verse describes Avraham specifically as being the embodiment of Ava, and Yitzchak as being the embodiment of Yira. So how come if Avraham is Ava and Yitzchak is Yira, why do I have to be balanced? I'll take him from the patriarchs. I'll be like Avraham.
Right. I'll be one or the other.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's the problem with that?
Yeah. What's the problem? See, Hefersha Hevdel has who bevukin is Gilui v'Helav Amidus Yitzchak. So he says, no, there was balance there, and the reason why we use this expression, Avraham was Ahava and Yitzchak was Pachad. They both had both, but which one was at the forefront?
Yeah,
with Avraham. So the major emphasis was chesed, it was Ahava.
Sure.
With Yitzchak, the major emphasis was Yira.
Yeah.
Hafer shehevdel hazeh, hu b'vukin is gilui v'helem. So the difference here is what's predominant, what's prevalent, and what's underlying. Shemidas Yitzchak ha-pachad hu b'chin is giloi, because with Yitzchak, the dread was revealed. V'ha'avim is uteris b'chin is helem v'hester. And the love, that was concealed and hidden. And it was exactly the opposite with Avraham. That with Avraham, it was the primary attribute was love, and the Yira was contained, was hidden and concealed. But it was there. It was there. This is now what David HaMelech says. David, interesting that he brings him in. This is what the whole point of the thing, the starting statement of this whole letter. David is Malchus.
Yes.
It says, Malchus leis le megarme klum. Malchus doesn't have anything of its own. You can't say, so therefore David HaMelech, you would say, is a composite of a whole bunch of stuff from before him. If he's Malchus, he doesn't right. have any prevalent,
no.
one specific prevalent character trait, other than the fact that when he put in combination all these character traits that he was a composite of, so it came out as Malucha, as Malchus. Because that's what Malchus is. Okay? How do we have something, right. we have a concept in Hasidus Kabbalah called Binyan HaMalchus. What is Malchus? So, Malchus of Chachma becomes Chachma of Malchus. So the bottom of Malchus, the bottom of Chachma, the bottom of the top becomes the top of the bottom.
Right.
The next sphere, Bina, Malchus of Bina becomes Bina of Malchus. So the bottom of Malchus, meaning the bottom of Bina, which what does Malchus mean? Malchus means I'm relating to something outside. So here, this whatever that character trait is, the ability to relate that character trait to outside of itself is what becomes that specific character trait. So same thing also with Das and Chesed Gvur Tiferes Netzach Hayim Yisoid. Okay, so that Malchus of Yisoid becomes Yisoid of Malchus. Until finally, when you take all that together, so those nine spheres now create Malchus of Malchus. That they are able to, since we have this whole entire partsuf, it's called, this whole entire plane, when it's now combined, can now relate really to something else,
right?
Not just the dog. What's the difference? So what's the difference? Malchus of Malchus and say Malchus of Bina, is because Malchus of Bina is just relating Bina,
right,
to below it. Whereas Malchus of Malchus is relating all this, which is going up the whole entire structure, to what's lower than it, to the next right. level down,
right.
Okay, so that's what David HaMelech was. So David HaMelech recognized when he says, "Until them, Ma Rav Tuvacha Hashem, how great is your goodness." So the word Rav, in this instance now, is a quantity, great. It's okay, it's a comparable quantity. It's not a definite quantity. It's not like 100 million.
Yeah, no.
It's just great. How great is your goodness? So how great is Hashem's goodness? It's infinite.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
So in this instance, I'm not sure if this is the way it is every time you'll see in Tanakh the word Rav, that it means infinite. But in this instance, for sure, that David HaMelech recognizes, because that's his whole thing, is to relate all of that to basically us.
Right.
Kalaimer Shemidas Hateva Hachesed Asher Huba Vachinas Helen Vehester Etzel Kol Mi Shishorish Nishmasa Vachinas Small Hanikur Bashem Yirecha Bemidas Kamidas Beishamai. That means to say, that the attribute of good and kindness, which is concealed and hidden with anyone whose source of their soul is from the left side, meaning from the side of Gevurah, like, for example, Beis Shammai, that he proposed that Beis Shammai, the reason why he was always so strict is because the source of his soul was from Gevurah, and even though the Rebbe knocked that back, we talked about that last week, so that person also has good. That person also has chesed.
Very true.
Beis Shammai didn't have toiv? Of course. Why was Beis Shammai saying what they were saying? What they were saying was in a way to express Hashem's goodness.
Yes, in their rendition.
Similar to what we said in Shar Yuchad V'Amunah.
Right.
That were it not for Tzimtzum, you would have no Giloy. Were it not for the Gevurah, you would not have Chesed being expressing anything, because the Chesed would be too great, and it would totally, completely nullify everything, and you would have nothing.
Right.
So therefore, even the Tzimtzum is an expression of Chesed.
You could say it's even a greater expression.
Yeah, you could. Even though with Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, the good was concealed and hidden, still, nonetheless, it's still Rav. We said before, what's Rav mean? Rav means infinite. So even somebody whose primary quality is Midas HaGevurah, is constraint and severity and strictness, they contain within their soul, there is contained within their soul, infinite amounts of kindness.
Infinite amounts.
Just like attribute of kindness. The attribute of kindness wasn't called kindness in the Kabbalah. By the early Kabbalists, it was referred to as Gedula, based on the pasuk Lecha Hashem HaGedula VaHaGevura VaHaTeferet VaHaNetzach VaHaHoid. Okay, in Divrei HaYamim. Okay, so they called it Gedula, greatness. Why did they call it greatness? Because it's unlimited. Zesha Amar Marav Tuvacha. This is what it means when it says, "How great is your goodness?" Kolomer Bli Gvul Umida Bein Toiv Asher Tzifanta Lirecha. And how great is your goodness means it's infinite, and according to even the goodness which is hidden to those who fear you, Ubein Asher Paalus Lechoisim Bach, and Paalta Lechoisim Bach, and those who also trust in you, Shehem Bali Habitachim Buchinis Yamin Achasadim Utevim. And those who trust you, and they're working out of an expression of kindness, so they're getting obliqueful kindness also. He calls them Bali Betachin. Okay, Bekinis Yamin Achasadim V'Tayvim. Because when a person has Betachin, so Betachin means trust. Mm-hmm. So a person has trust in Hashem, they expect that it's all going to be good. What are you trusting Hashem for? I trust Hashem things are going to work out bad. What kind of trust is that?
But you're trusting that it's going to be good even though you don't see it as good.
Not even that. No. I trust Hashem that it's going to work out really good. That's what it means, betachin. Okay, somebody's all upset about something, and something terrible happened to them, and you say, "Where's your betachin?" What does that mean? Don't you believe that this is going to work out for as a good thing? That's what betachin means. I trust Hashem that it's going to work out as a good thing. So if it's a good thing, then it's coming from kindness. I didn't see it as a good thing, but okay. So you're in that instance, you're going to say that it would have to be an even greater goodness, like you want to say. There's going to be even more good because I don't see that it was good.
So, sure, I heard that.
Okay, if I were to win the lottery, so then I'd say, oh, that was very good. Okay, and if I didn't win the lottery, which I haven't, so then I would say, no, okay, Hashem has something better for me. And talk it true. If I were to do like, if I was able to plod the course of my life, having won the lottery as opposed to not having won the lottery, could very well be that not having won the lottery, I'd be better off for it.
Either one of you think I'm just home.
Yeah.
Not just for the good.
Yeah. My wife has an expression, Hashgacha Pratis, even means when something bad happened. Okay? And, you know, it's not what, you know, and we did this and we got lost, but then Hashgacha Pratis and it all worked out. Okay? It's Hashgacha Pratis if it didn't work out, didn't work out too. But that's where Betachin comes in. Betachin means it didn't work out. I really don't understand why this is happening. This really stinks. But I have Betachin that Hashem is doing the best possible. And how much the best possible? Rav Tevucha. An infinite amount of Rav Tevucha. An infinite amount of good is coming out of this whole business.
That
this is also considered a revelation and a dissemination of the goodness before a person. Okay, the person doesn't see any of it, but guess what? It is great good. It is great good. That's the whole deal. Is that even he didn't see it, it is.
Of course it is.
Because it's kindness. It is an expression of kindness.
Yes.
If somebody does something which is an expression of kindness and you didn't appreciate the fact that it's kindness, doesn't take away from the fact that it is kindness.
Correct.
It's still kindness.
Right.
Umashikas of Liyarecha, the verse says, Taiv Asher Tzifanta Liyarecha, the good which is hidden to those who fear you. So why does it say to those who fear you, not Biyarecha, in those who fear you? Because if it's Tzifanta, if it's hidden, usually we hide things in, rather than hide things to, even in Hebrew. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this good is hidden in those who fear him. But here it says it's hidden to those who fear him. Because anything, all the good, which is hidden within any neshama, with any soul, it is not enclosed in the body, in the heart, in the brain, meaning the person's not, it's hidden, meaning the person's not cognizant of it. But it's encompassing from above, which is a very easy thing for Hashem to do. Okay? That's why it says two, because it's not in your body, it's not in your persona, it's not in your psyche. You're not aware of it. This person is Lireyecha. This person is considered one who fears Hashem. Okay? And it is working out of an expression and tapping into the Tzimtzum rather than in the infiniteness of Hashem. But guess what? So he's getting the infiniteness of Hashem also. But he's not aware of it. Why? It's because it just so happens most people aren't aware of most of their soul. We talked about this way back when, I don't know, chapter 2, chapter 3, that the Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama that the Alter Rebbe talks about in Tanya, That's a person's conscious. That's enclosed in a person's thought, speech, and action. But chaya and yechida far exceed as far as how much soul there is.
Aren't they outside the
body? They are outside the body. And since they're outside of the body, how much outside of the body could your soul extend? I'm not going to say infinite. It's not infinite. But it does extend. Okay? Chaya extends at least dalet amos. That's where the expression your dalet amos comes from. Because that's how much your neshama takes up. Outside your body. Now, however big you are, your dalet amos is going to be bigger. Because it's four times however much your body is. Basically. Okay? So that...
Is it considered soviv?
Yes.
Right.
He uses the word makif, you know, same deal. I don't know enough of the nuance, if there's a difference between soviv and makif.
In that case?
Soviv means surrounding, makif means surrounding, so there might be some, some grammarian or somebody who's more familiar with the Kabbalistic jargon than I am.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm sure that Yitzhak Ginsberg could probably talk about an hour about the difference between soviv and makif. So, because otherwise, if there's no words that are exact synonyms in Hebrew,
mm-hmm.
they have slight variants.
Mm.
So, let me just think. The opposite of soviv is mamali, and the opposite of makif is pnimi.
So I've got it backward.
No, soviv means encompass. And mamali means it fills it. Okay. Makif means superficial to it, external to it. And the opposite of that would be pnimi, would be internalized.
So in this case, that we would say the soul, the chaya and yechida are makif.
Makif.
Yes.
External to it, rather than surrounding, but external. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'd say that they're makif. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So how much is it that so we're talking about revelations of the infiniteness of Hashem, the infinite goodness of Hashem. So it says that part of a soul, how much is of a person's will and desire are they readily aware of? Not a whole lot. Yeah. Only that which is able to for the person to enclose in their thoughts.
To manifest, yeah.
Okay, there's a lot of natural desires, innate desires, subconscious desires. We can put all kinds of labels on what these desires are. Mm-hmm. Okay, like for example, you want to breathe. Okay, but you're not thinking about it. Now you are. But
yes, you can.
So now everybody's taking a breath, as we're all saying, Okay, so you want to breathe and you do it, but you're not thinking about it because an innate desire is to survive. And surviving means breathing 12 to 20 times a minute.
Mm.
So... But that's you're not aware of that.
It's just done, right.
But you can see that's an essential part of us. You know, how do I see that? Well, if a person gets put into a situation where they can't breathe, what happens? Then it becomes very much cognizant. Okay, so he says that great good that is hidden for those who fear him. So what's that person's major motivation? Is yira, that's the part that's enclosed in the body, but the great amount of goodness which is given to the person from Hashem, the infinite, the bleak vul, godliness of Hashem's goodness, of Hashem's kindness, is now given to the part of the soul that's not enclosed in the body. That's why it says to those who fear him, not in those who fear them.
Oh.
Elohu b'chinas makim elamayla m'shamhu me'ir l'maychal v'libay l'itim tzirichim l'yis'oras b'chinas zu. And what happens, it doesn't just sit there outside. There's times that your brain, your heart needs it. specific times to arouse this arousal of this light, that it should illuminate the soul, the brain, lahar lamaych v'libay kedei lavoli de ma'ase b'peil mamish, in order to be able to do something that needs to get done. Which generally, okay, so you have a person who's naturally serving Hashem out of fear. Or maybe you could say this is the same thing that happened with Avraham. How is it that Avraham, he doesn't say it here, so I'm not taking any, I'm making the disclaimer. Mm. How is it that Avraham could take a knife and prepare to slaughter his son? Avraham is Mr. Kindness. So he's doing it exactly backwards over here. But because Avraham's neshama got this charge of godliness, he's doing it in the terms that this person is a fearer of Hashem and he gets a charge of godliness for kindness. So I'm saying it must be also that this person who is serving sure. Hashem out of kindness, because Hashem wants balance,
right.
He must get this charge for a year.
Sure, of course.
So he then is... Where is he getting it from to be able to pick up a knife to get ready to slaughter his son? This is coming from way out there someplace. This is tapping into the external expressions of his soul.
Right.
He now wants to do this because he wants to have this relationship with Hashem. And this is the way he's going to have this relationship with Hashem. So he now wants, consciously, he wants to do it this way, even though it goes against, totally against his nature. And that's going to be true with anything anybody really does which is against their nature. We all have a nature. And when it is, that it comes, going to come the time that we have to do something that we really don't want to do. We don't like doing it. Okay, and our Yetzirah is really fighting pretty hard because we know that this is the, if it would be something that is easy and we like doing it, so the Yetzirah kind of gives in on those and says, okay, he likes doing it already, so we'll let the animal go with that because at least the animal's happy. But if it's something that has to get done and he doesn't like doing it, so now the Yetzirah has a place to say, oh, don't do it. If it doesn't feel good, don't do it. Okay, so now he can kick it up in a notch and say, well, it really does have to get done. Regardless if I'm enjoying it or not, I know it has to get done. That's the humility that all Jews have. We started, was it this letter?
No, previous
letter. It was a previous letter. So we said that Jews are humble by nature.
Bashful.
Okay, bashful, humble, like to do good deeds. Okay, so where's the humility? Humility, they humble themselves that it's got to get done. I don't want to do it. I don't like doing it. I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. That bottom line, that really is how we're supposed to do all mitzvahs. Mm-hmm. It says, mitzvahs loyla nehenes nitna. Mitzvahs weren't given for us to enjoy. We weren't given mitzvahs to benefit from. Mm-hmm. Mitzvahs were given to make the world better and to affect an easy vehicle, or a vehicle which is easy for us to connect to Hashem, bring godliness into the world, elevate the world. That's what mitzvahs are all there for. That is why, by the way, a lot of people don't know that during the 7 days of Sukkot, you're not allowed to smell your esrog. You know that? Because, what are you smelling the esrog for? It smells nice.
You want to benefit from.
You're not allowed to benefit from the esrog. You're allowed to bench the esrog. Okay, if the esrog became pusle, I think it says someplace there's an argument. If the esrog became pusle, if you'd be allowed to eat it during Yom Tov, and he says his opinion is that you have to wait until after Sukkot before you could eat the esrog.
Mm. Okay. Even if it's pusle.
Can't smell it.
Yeah. Okay, the myrtle, which smells nice. The whole reason why you have the myrtle is because of the smell. Okay? Smell it before, smell it after.
You can't sometimes. You have to.
If you're breathing and you happen to breathe in this smell, okay, but you can't go. You
can't actively.
For sure, you could not take a myrtle branch that's on your lulav and say, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam borei mine asavim.
Yeah.
I'd say asavim, whatever, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd say besamim, that's the word. Okay, and take a big sniff. No. Because mitzvahs are not given for our benefit. So every mitzvah that we do, we really, but, you know, we have these, our souls have certain netiyahs. If you happen to like eating shmura matzah, okay, good. No, so for that makes the matzah, that mitzvah so much more easier for you to do than if you didn't like eating shmura matzah. Okay, and it's the same. That's why it says there's a whole discussion in the Gemara. What mitzvah was your father most careful with? I mean, which one was his soul most attached to? We understand that there are those conscious feelings towards specific mitzvahs that we happen to feel that we want to do those ones. And there's other ones that we really could live without. Those are the ones that Hashem gave us the kayach, this rav tuvacha, to go do them.
The ones
we don't want to do. Oh. Okay? On the contrary, you don't, just like Avraham. Avraham, for the first 9 tests, did Hashem have to do anything? No, he's doing it himself. Did Hashem say anything? Avram walks out of a furnace. Did Hashem say anything to him? Yeah, he said, you know, I think it would be a good idea if you left. There's no congratulations. You passed the test. It's not even mentioned in the Chumash. Okay? The most far out, freaked out thing that could possibly happen to somebody. And it's only alluded to by saying that that his brother got killed in Or Kasdim. Nothing about you. It doesn't even say it. Why? It was no big deal for Avram. Glad to do it. No problem. And we were talking about before, Avram probably enjoyed himself when he was in there. It's like going into Schwitz. You know, it was probably very comfortable.
Like the three...
Hanani, Mishael, Azariah, we mentioned them before you came. Yeah.
Hanging out with them.
So there's no mention there. Okay? That he has to pick up a knife. Now God says, oh, this is big time. This is something that we can talk about. This makes the news. This we have to put in our davening every day. Because he could do that. Why? Because this is really where there's an expression of the infiniteness of Hashem in Avraham's soul. And guess what? That's what we want to do too. With whatever mitzvah it happens to be, we want there to be that infinite expression of Hashem in our soul too.
But doing the Akedah wasn't against his nature, so to speak.
It was. Avraham was Ehavai.
Very much so.
He served Hashem out of love. Here he says, "Vata yadaiti ki," until we started the class, "Vata yadaiti ki yirel kimata." Now I know you fear Hashem also. You went the extra mile, you put the extra effort in, you pass. Now I know. It's a very interesting thing. How is it that Avram passed? Hashem passed him.
No.
Hashem helped.
Is there any other qualification necessary?
Hashem said, I want you to pass. Okay, so here's a little, here's the answer.
Yeah.
Go.
Yeah.
Do it. So, I mean, it's like you said back in chapter 13, quoting the Gemara, that it says a person would never be able to survive his Yetzirah if Hashem wasn't able to help, if it wasn't helping.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. So Hashem is giving that to us and expecting us to take it and go. Bottom line. Va'amar alkein asher rav tuvacha lebeis Yisrael hatzafan v'hagile. Therefore we say, this great goodness which is given to the house of Israel, which is hidden and revealed, v'hu, v'chinas bleig v'olamida, lefi erech nafshas fecham. Comparably speaking, it's unlimited. Even compared to our souls. Hamalu besh is beguf, and it's enclosed in the body. Lachem gan ata Hashem tis naheg imahem b'midas chastecha hagadol b'ligvul v'tachlis hanikra rav chesed. Therefore, you Hashem, you lead them, you conduct yourself with them, with your kindness which is without limit or without end, and it's called rav chesed. Rav, we said before, infinite. The eis chesed, because there's chesed, and then there's chesed. Okay, the first day there was kind. There was expression, "Let there be light."
Right.
That was an expression of kindness.
Yes.
But that was only enough for the first day, or you could say enough for the creation.
Right.
That's not rav chesed. That was enough for vayehi or.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's a lot. But
see it.
It's not rav.
Yeah,
that's not rav. Rav is what Hashem gives us that we should be able to live in the world and be successful.
So it's not too much for us. It can be more than
we're getting it more. Yeah, and this is more. You can say we're getting more than what,
because we couldn't handle the first
the day. Light of the first day. Forget it. You're not getting. Why? Because you couldn't handle it. But this, you can't see it. It's safanta b'nafshecha. It's hidden in your soul. Because it's hidden, that's why you could use it.
It's going to come back. Like, it's still there.
It's there. You can't see it. But because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. And when the time comes when you need to tap into it, you'll have the tools to tap into it.
But certain tzaddikim can use it now.
You could use it now. But I'm not saying saying you're not a tzaddik.
Thank you. But isn't it the same? But is that the same light that we say is hidden away for the tzaddikim?
No.
It's a different
light. That's different.
Okay.
This is bigger than that. Because that's not big. That's not. Okay, it says in the Gemara that what's a big thing? A big thing is Sheshis Yimei Breishis. A small thing is the Havois of Rabban Abaya. The arguments between Rabban and Abaya are called a small thing, and the Sheshis Yimei Breishis is called a big thing. But that's not Rav Chesed. Okay, Rav Chesed is giving to us. The Eis Chesed Olam Shiyesh Keneged Le'ola Umasay Midas Hadin Chas Hashalom. You have one level of Chesed. He says there's kindness and then there's kindness. So you have one kind of Chesed which is called Chesed Olam, which is terrestrial kindness, or kindness which relates to the world. And that's in a state of balance with Yira. Mm-hmm. Midas Hadin. Lema'ad L'tzamsim Chasdei V'tuvai. And that, what its purpose is to counter effect the kindness, so that the kindness doesn't do too much. Because if you're talking, what would be if there would be too much, a little bit too much godliness brought into this world, it would overwhelm it and the world would cease to exist. So you need to have din opposite it. Just make sure that there's just amount of this goodness coming into the world. Aval chesed elyon, but the kindness that we're talking, that's what we was mentioning. That's the first day kindness.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay, the kindness we're talking about over here, that's chesed elyon, that's the higher level of chesed. Hanikur rav chesed. Ein kenegdo midas adin. There's no gevura opposite it. L'mayla l'tzamsim rav chastim l'hispashik b'ligvul l'tachlis, which is preventing that kindness from disseminating without any limit or purpose, limit or end. Because it is drawn down from the level of Soviv. Here he said, now it goes into what level of the soul does it go into? It goes into the Makif and the Neshama. Where is it coming from? It's coming from the Or Soviv.
Mm-hmm.
the encompassing, and Tamirin Dekol Tamirin, which is a Zohar expression, the level of which is hidden of all hidden levels. Hidden because we can't relate to it. So this godliness, we can't relate to it. You can't be walking around just constantly pulling out this great level of kindness. It just doesn't work that way. Mm. We're not that type. Maybe a big tzaddik, yeah. But average Joe Bainini is not pulling out at this all the time. Which is called Keser Elyon, v'zehu tistarim b'seser panecha tzefanta titz panem b'suka. And this is what it means. Now it says, you hide them in the cover of your face, you conceal them in your sukkah. He says your pavilion, which is really cute, in your booth. You know, so meaning sukkah, meaning this a sukkah is sovev. Mm-hmm. So the kindness. So the where is it that if this great level of kindness to be found in the external expressions of your neshama? Mm-hmm. And what are you supposed to do with it?
Tap into it.
Tap into it when you can.
Right.
And Hashem is going to direct you when you're going to need to tap into it.
Right.
For the most part, you go through your day. You wake up, you go to shul, you daven, you eat breakfast, you go to work, you learn a little bit here and there, you come home, you play with the kids, you pay your bills, which now and then, Baruch Hashem, you don't have to pay your bills, it's all automatically now. You know, you do whatever you do, you talk to your wife a little bit, you go to sleep, you wake up, you do the whole thing the next day. And this is the way it goes day in, day out. So if you're running on automatic, you know, so it's okay, you know. You write a check for tzedakah every once in a while. A yom tov comes up, and you have to do some extra prep and some extra celebrating. Okay, good. This is all fine, you know. So, but for the most part, that you have to really exert yourself, Hashem's not demanding it of us. If you go looking for it, yeah, Rabbi Akiva went looking for it. He got his skin flayed. You know, I don't recommend that at home, folks. That hurts. So but we all have this ability to tap into this great level of good, which is hidden, as he says, to our neshamas, or for our neshama, and it's all prepared, it's ready there, and you just got to use it when you need it. To be continued. Chapter 14 next time.
Thank you.